So we're back with our interview now with Bruce Levine. He's a clinical psychologist and he's the author of a book with a fantastic title called The Common Sense Rebellion, Taking Back Your Life from Drugs, Shrinks, Corporations, and a World Gone Crazy. Hello, Bruce.
Good to be on.
Thank you very much for being here. So I'm always very interested in people's journeys and how they get to the places that they get to. So I'm just wondering, as a psychologist, how you came to write this book and came to, well, maybe you can explain as well what it's about.
Well, a lot of it is about just sort of debunking a lot of the pseudopsychiatry, the lack of science behind not only these diagnoses, invalidity and diagnoses, unreliability of diagnostic procedures, ineffectiveness of treatments, but it's a lot more than that. It's also talking about society. And something that psychiatrists and psychologists have really woefully failed to do, which is to talk about just what a great impact culture and society has on our mental well-being. And what they've rather, you know, focused on are sort of phantom biochemical explanations, phantom genetic explanations. And, you know, why I wrote this book was that, you know, over the years, I've been increasingly embarrassed by my profession. When I was an undergraduate in psychology, there were folks in my profession, there were people to be impressed by. There were people like Eric Fromm, and there were folks who were talking about culture, society, and its relationship to emotional difficulties. And that just kind of just fell off the map with the advent of pharmaceutical companies really kind of taking over the profession, and which happened in the 1980s, and nowadays they really almost have merged pharmaceutical companies and the American Psychiatric Association and some of these so-called consumer groups in the States. It's the National Alliance of Mentally Ill. I guess in Canada there's something similar, like I think it's the Canadian Mental Health Association, and all of these sort of forces have just kind of merged in a kind of partnership and have just kind of got people to stop using their common sense. And that's part of why I wrote this book. And so I talk about the ineffectiveness of treatments. Many people out there, psychiatric treatments, the drug treatments, electroshock, and even some of the simplistic behavioral manipulations have failed dramatically. And it's important for these people to know that they have not failed treatment, but that maybe treatment has failed them. And also to begin to understand that there's lots of cultural, political forces out there that psychiatrists and psychologists really are not going to talk about, that are really the major reason why they're having some difficulties out there.
I guess if you have an organization or like pharmaceutical corporations that are basically running the show or becoming very powerful in the mental health industry, you have a strong motivation from them to have people on drugs and to therefore have as many different psychoses and diseases out there as possible, or to even create new ones that don't exist.
Right. I think you don't have to, I think it's not necessary to be cynical. I mean, it's just necessary to be realistic that what do corporations do? Their goal is to expand their markets, very simply.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very simply what they're going to do. And to the extent that a profession allows themselves to kind of be partnered up with, I mean, that's what they're going to do. Their responsibility is to the shareholders. Many of them are their CEOs and the executive board themselves. But I mean, their responsibility is for growth, for more income. And what better way to do that than to have more and more diagnoses, to convince more and more people that, you know, basic, you know, kind of normal human processes are really psychiatric diseases? What better way than to convince folks that the easiest way to fix these things are taking psychotropic drugs, which are, by the way, in many ways very, very similar to illicit drugs, and so that's what you do if you're a corporation. You expand your markets, and that shouldn't sound cynical to people. That should just sound like common sense.
Hi, Doctor. That says I'm James. I'm Julie's co-host.
Hi, James.
thanks again for joining us. This is a really very exciting. Can you talk a little about so-called chemical imbalance? I hear this over and over again, especially from friends of mine who are or were taking antidepressants like Paxil or Prozac and things like that. They say, you know, hey, I would love to be able to not take these, you know, but I have a chemical imbalance. And
First of all, there's no proof that any chemical imbalance is related to any kind of psychiatric disorder. Let's take depression because that's probably the most famous chemical imbalance. Who in North America and much of the world hasn't heard that, you know, you have a deficit of serotonin and that's why you're depressed? Mm-hmm. And the reality is there's absolutely no scientific evidence of that. Let me just give you a couple of things. I don't want to bog your audience down with facts. We can move to just sort of common sense understanding why this can't be true, but just a couple of facts. As early as 1998, a pretty mainstream textbook, the American Medical Association's Essential Guide to Depression, says quite clearly, actually, I can tell you, I've memorized this because this question comes up a lot, page 64 of this book, it'll tell you right clearly there's no relationship between serotonin levels and depression. In fact, some people who have too much, you know, have more than normal levels of serotonin get depressed, people who have less than normal levels, average levels, there's just no relationship. And another, you know, there's many other pieces of documentation on this, but I can tell folks a couple of other things just to kind of, if they don't want to, you know, kind of go through all the research here or even look at my book and they don't want to do any of this, you just go to your doctor and ask your doctor what's the lab test for my depression or any other of these psychiatric disorders. We can measure the amount of serotonin in the body. Why don't they use it, especially here in the States? If some of your listeners are listening to the States, you know they're not adverse to using any kind of expensive test in the world if, you know, they can back it up. And they won't use it because the science is that there is no relationship. There's actually some interesting studies done in the mid-90s where they depleted serotonin in people through what they gave them certain kinds of food that depleted the serotonin, and it didn't matter in terms of their depression. It didn't cause depression in people who were undepressed. It didn't get people who were more, you know, who were depressed even more depressed. So there's just really no evidence of that. And just one other kind of common sense thing on this for folks.